Well, good morning. Glad you're here, and I'm glad you got a little glimpse of what we did this week with our kids, and awesome week at Shipwreck VBS. And if you'd like to stick around for the second service, you can, to hear the kids sing and celebrate the Lord. And it was an awesome week, and we just so appreciate everybody's involvement in this church with Vacation Bible School. It does take an awesome team, and we have that, and we appreciate their ministry. So I'm glad you're here as we start the series entitled Is. It is what it is, a series all about the Bible, okay? And so we're going to be talking about the Bible, God's Word, and we're going to be looking today specifically at kind of the big picture of what is the Bible. I've talked to a lot of people who, when you mention God's Word, the Bible, are like, thanks, I like the fact that you have value with God's Word, but I really don't get into God's Word, and a matter of fact, some would say, when I think about God's Word, it's just going to cramp my style, and I don't want that, you know, it's going to be kind of this straitjacket for me, so I'd rather not actually know God's Word that much, because I don't really want to settle down until way down the road, especially young people. I don't want to settle down, I don't want to be, you know, really convicted about these things, or I don't want to be guilty or guilted into things. And so they'll say thanks, but no thanks. Other people are simply afraid of the Bible. Maybe you're like that because you grew up in a home where there was some strictness in how you heard God's Word. Maybe there were some fingers pointing at you, and thus saith the Lord. And done in a way where there is a lot more anger rather than the love of God. It's one thing to share God's Word and encourage people down a path of devotion to God's Word. It's another thing to kind of guilt people and make them fear in such a way where they get overwhelmed and they don't understand what a relationship with Jesus Christ is all about. And other people, they come to the Bible just kind of confused. It's hard to read. It's complex. It's thick. It's long. It's written in ancient times and all these different languages, and I really don't understand it, and I don't get it. And we all come to the Bible with different kind of opinions or different ways of looking at life, different stories that we bring to our understanding. And some of us have been around the Bible for a long time. I think about how long it's been since I've known God's Word and started a relationship with Him, and it's been a long time now. But I'll never forget the time when I finally came to faith in Christ and I opened up God's Word and it was like new and fresh and different. I remember trying to read through the Bible when I didn't know Jesus and it was not good. And then I remember coming to Him in faith and then opening the Bible and all of a sudden God's Word came alive and it made a difference. When I think about how long I've known a relationship with Jesus, but also how long I've been studying God's Word, one of the challenges for those who have been walking with the Lord for a long time is to say, you know, how do you keep it fresh? How do you keep it in a way where you're not just looking at it and saying, I know the story, yada, 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 but you understand it in a way where there's revelation and there's kind of a newness to it, and you're looking at it and you're understanding it in a way where you can say, you know what, maybe I read this story 100 times, but I can get something new out of it. And there's something that God wants to teach me through His Word. And so for those of you that have been walking with the Lord for a long time and you know God's Word, maybe for you it's continue to pray and ask the Lord to help you understand His Word in a fresh way. Today we're going to look at four truths as we talk about what is the Bible. And we're going to see that the Bible is, first of all, God's Word. Four different truths that we're going to look at today. The Bible is God's Word. John 1:1 says this, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the very beginning. And so before anything ever existed in the universe and all the galaxies and everything, there was God's Word. God and God's Word existed. Then God spoke to the prophets. He spoke to a lot of different people. We know in the Scriptures that all Scripture is inspired by God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's a great reminder for all of us of the value of God's Word. And what I like about that is it really helps us understand God's will for our lives. A lot of times we get really confused about what God's will is. And what's interesting is when you open God's Word, it helps you understand what God's will really is. Sometimes it even says, "This is my will." Okay, and so it's very clear. Other times you're looking at His Word and it shows you exactly what God's Word is all about. I think about how important it is to understand and know His Word, because when you do, it really does give you a sense of purpose and direction in life. God's Word is inspired. Inspired in that verse, 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is inspired. It's God-breathed is the word in the original. So these are God's words for us, revelation. How did God do that? He did that through human authors. If you study the different languages, you'll see how the book of Acts is different than some of the other books. Maybe because Luke wrote it, and there was that sense of a doctor writing this and a whole different way of doing it versus John and that apostle. But what's interesting, even though there was different authors, the message was something that came through loud and clear. And God used the different authors and their different literary kind of techniques to get the message across. And God breathed into His Word, and He inspired His Word so that what we have is what God wants us to have. It's also inerrant, and by that I mean it is true, because God is a God of truth. We're told in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 6, that God is truth, and therefore we know that we can trust His book, His Word, and know that what is in there is true, and it's true in the original. Okay, the original manuscripts. This is where in seminary we would do textual criticism, where we would look at a lot of different manuscripts, copies of the Word of God. And in the New Testament, there's over 5,000 copies of the New Testament in different fragments. So you might have the whole book of Matthew here. You might have in another manuscript, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. You might have just a little bit of Ephesians. In another writer, another scribe wrote that. What was interesting is when we had the Dead Sea Scrolls and we got those, it gave us even more manuscripts. And people are like, okay, now we're going to find that, you know, there's all these errors in the Bible. But when you have a lot, like over 5,000 manuscripts that are copies of the original, you can pretty much get to the original, what that original was, because you start to see errors. You'll start to see a scribe falling asleep. The next thing you know, as he's trying to copy the original, he starts to fall asleep, and this just doesn't make sense, right? Or there's another one where he becomes very spiritual, right? And he wants to add to what the original is. And he wants to give kind of a spiritual kind of sense to it. And so he spiritualizes as he's copying. And so you have all these manuscripts, and what you're able to do just through textual criticism is get to the real bottom line of what the original was. And all of the different manuscripts, it's interesting, other historians and things that we have, like Herodotus, you don't have 5,000, you have maybe 10 copies of what he wrote. But God preserved all these different manuscripts so that we can look at all these different copies and really have an authority. So we say, okay, as best we know, this is the original. And what we have today, and especially with all the different manuscripts that we have today, is a very sound, true message from God's Word. It's inerrant in the original, and we have as close as you can to what that original is. And so it gives you confidence that what we have is truth, what we have is God's Word. The second truth that I want you to look at today is that the Bible is, in a lot of ways, a library. The Bible is a library. I think about all the different ways that God used, like poetry and history. The Psalms are full of poetry. I like how there's kind of a romantic part in Song of Solomon. I like how there's wisdom literature. There's also like the history of the early church in the book of Acts. There's the Gospels, the stories of Jesus. So all the way through this, different types and styles of writing, but you have something very, very good and unique because God is the editor. He's the one overseeing it all. The Bible contains 66 books in both the Old Testament and New Testament. The Old Testament has 39 books. New Testament has 27, written by 40 different authors on three different continents, Africa, Asia, Europe. It was written in three different languages, Hebrew, which is primarily the Old Testament, but there's parts of the Old Testament that are in Aramaic. When you study your doctorate, I have my Master of Theology, so we learn Hebrew and Greek. When you do your doctorate, you study Aramaic. Those are the people that are just really, really, really smart. Like, that just, yeah, crazy. Anyway, so there's Old Testament Hebrew, written in Hebrew, Aramaic, but the New Testament is written in Greek. It was written over a period of time, 1,500 years, from 1400 BC to around 100 AD, and it's been translated into over 2,400 different languages. One of the missionary agencies is Wycliffe, and they go into some of the remotest areas of the world, and they translate God's word into that language. So they study the language, and then the next thing you know, they're bringing God's word to those people that have never seen something even written. But 2,400 different translations, languages translated in the history of the world. It's also, no surprise here, the best-selling book ever, right? Why? Because God wanted his revelation to go throughout the world and also to be something that people would study and understand and know. Because God wants to be known, and therefore his revelation is something that he made sure to get into the hands of people. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, well, I don't believe the Bible. How do you know the Bible's true? How do you know it's not just some myth? How do you know this translation is right versus that translation? All those, how do you can believe in the miracles? What's going on there? We're going to start to answer some of those questions next week, so you have to come back next week, okay? I'm not going to answer those today. But anyway, through this series, we're going to talk about some of those questions that we have when it comes to God's Word. But know today that God's Word is truth. It's something that gives us purpose and direction in life. But secondly, it's a library. His word is there for us, and we can find his will in God's word. But the Bible is a library, something that's so exhaustive that you can't ever really get all of the treasures that are there. And God would encourage us to dig deep. God would encourage us to understand his word. But more importantly than anything, make sure that it's a part of our lives and we're living it out, not just understanding it, but we're living out his word. The Bible also is a blueprint. It's a blueprint. And this is really important. Matthew 7. A lot of times when you might be feeling kind of smug about life and about your understanding of God's word and how you know it inside and out and that you can do the sword drill quicker than anybody. You know, sword drills today, they're changing because now, you know, you can Google it, right? So sometimes we have to teach our kids old school. You're not allowed to Google it. You just have to look up the scriptures and try to get to the Bible verse as quick as you can. And if you're the first one there, you get a prize, at least in Bev's class, you get a prize. And they do sword drills to this day. But anyway, Googling, I actually like the challenge because I'm competitive, right? You Google, I'll get to it quicker than you. So let's see if we can do that down the road. Anyway, that was a sidetrack. Sorry about that. But anyway, here's these Pharisees, and they know God's word really well, right? They are the experts. And they're, Jesus has this time with them. Jesus and his Sermon on the Mount is found in Matthew 5 through 7. And he's challenging these Pharisees that have the word of God that are allowing knowledge to puff them up and to kind of say, you know, look at what I'm doing. I have it all together. And then he says these words to them. He says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, practice, right, is like a wise man who built the house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall because it had a foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. You see, when it comes to God's Word and understanding God's Word and applying it to your life, it's meant to be a foundation. It's meant to be a solid foundation in your life. And it's really not until the storms come that you really understand whether or not you build it on sand or on the rock, a good foundation or on a weak foundation. And it takes maybe sometimes years before, as you're studying God's Word and as you're just getting acquainted with it and building a base there, it might take years before maybe you come to a time, a crisis in your life where you say, man, I need to lean into Him. And all of a sudden, those promises come back. Like, I'll never leave you. I'll never turn my back on you. Joshua 1:7. Or there's those promises that God works in all things for good. It's not that it's good. I don't like a lot of those experiences. But I know there's a God that redeems those experiences and helps us work through them. And I can trust Him because He's a faithful God. And He's proven Himself faithful. And so the question is, which one are you building your life upon? Down in Chippewa, when we bought our house, we noticed the foundation on the one corner wasn't good. Close to the lake, right? Sand, not a good foundation, right? And it's also built in the 30s, so, you know, just over time, right? So we had to, last year, do a foundation work on the one corner. And nobody likes to spend money on a foundation, right? But if you're going to live there forever, like that's our forever home now, if you're going to live there forever, you need to make sure there's a firm foundation. And so we did that last year. We didn't get to do any painting or any aesthetics. It was kind of disappointing that we had to put money into a foundation. But we're good because we're building something good, right? Solid. Recently, Mark and Jamie came back. And Mark knows building trades a little better than probably even his dad. And so he said, is there anything you want me to do while I'm here for a week? And I said, yes, I'd love you to get down in the crawl space with me. And he's like, is there anything else you want me to do? So we went down in the crawl space because there's a foundation issue down there in the middle of the house where there was a couple beams like this. And that doesn't look good, right? It should be straight. And so we put this cement, I don't know what you call those bases or whatever. What are they called? Footer or something like that. Ours were like made out of cement. And we put those down, dug in, put those down, and then we put jacks, okay, in to shore up that area. And next thing you know, when we finally kind of, we didn't do it this, we took a wrench and we did this, and all of a sudden now it's on the jacks and there's a firm foundation, and we're good for a while now, right? And Mark and I out there, down below there, and all that work and things like that, you're thinking, what a waste of time. But it's not a waste of time because it's building a strong foundation for over time. As you're studying God's Word, you're spending time in God's Word and getting to know it, and it becomes, in a sense, a blueprint for your life. It's not a waste of time because it's a foundation. And there should be that sense of just a solid belief and knowledge of God's Word and how through that knowledge it reveals who God is. And so our faith grows and there's a sense of trust in Him and we build a stronger, stronger base the more we get to know God through His Word. So that when the storms will come, not if they come, but when the storms come, you'll be okay through it. Because the good Lord will be right there beside you. And there's nothing like living life in the storms of life with His presence and His power and His might and the promises that you bank on in the midst of those times where you feel like nobody else might understand. That God breathes truth into your life to say, I understand, and I'll be there with you. And we're going to get through this because I'm the God of the universe. I'm your creator. And then one last truth about God's Word, as we think about the importance of God's Word, is it's meant to be a compass in our life. It's meant to be a compass in our lives. Anybody here? Let's just on three point to true north. One, two, three. Justin, really? Good try. I could have called out about six or seven people, but you know, because I love you, I call you out. You know, all good. So true north would be this way. If we had a compass, we could probably really, it probably is a little bit more like this or whatever. I should have saved my Boy Scout compass. What was I thinking? It's probably in a box in storage somewhere. But anyway, all that to say true north. There's direction in our lives. And throughout the scripture, you know what the true north is? It's Jesus. The true north, because all the way from Genesis all the way to Revelation, from beginning to end, it points to Jesus Christ. From the very beginning, the Trinity in creation. And then the Old Testament, you see over and over, the Israelites, they're looking forward to a Messiah coming and the one that's going to bring salvation to them. And they even do a Passover meal where they'll take time to go outside to see if the Messiah has come. I mean, to this day, they still do that. And so all the way through, and the prophets talked about this Messiah coming. And then what, as Christians, as Christ followers, we believe that this Jesus, when he came and was born in a manger, such humility, that in all of that, in the humanity, Jesus, fully God, fully man, when he came with a purpose to be the Savior of the world. And he conquered death. And the Messiah died for our sins. Jesus died for our sins. And all the way through the New Testament, you see everything pointing to that important message, mission. And then in Revelation, you see that one day, you know, because he died and rose again, and then he went to be seated at the right hand of the Father, that one day Jesus is returning and he'll come back. And Book of Revelation talks about that as well. Everything from beginning of Book of Genesis all the way through Revelation points to Jesus. He's the compass. He's the one that we look to. He's the one that gives us life, and all the way through the scriptures there's that. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. He says, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. We can study all the passages in the Bible there and kind of look at it as like, okay, that's nice. I like it. I like how that reads, or I like that psalm because it relates to my life. And I love Song of Solomon because, you know, there's romance in the Bible. That's cool. And we can have all this understanding. But if you fail to see the importance of his word with starting a relationship with Jesus Christ, we've missed everything. Because it all points, it's a compass, right? And it's pointing true north to Jesus. And he wants to help us with faith, and he wants to build that faith. And all the way through his word, it just makes a lot more sense when we have Jesus as the compass. You see, I studied the Bible, and I even tried to read it for myself before I accepted Christ. And I got stuck in Leviticus for some reason. Anybody else? Can you? Some of you have been, you're still stuck there, right? Some of you have given up on the Bible because you're stuck in Leviticus, you know. You got to overcome that. And when I trusted Christ as my Savior, I turned my life over to him. I started reading God's Word, and it was like a whole different way of seeing his book, the Bible, his Word. Because there was a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into your life and begins to illuminate God's Word, and you begin to see it for what it needs to be, because it needs to be about life change. It needs to be about really making sure that there's this life change that God is doing in my life. And we're going to spend a whole Sunday talking about the life change that God's Word can bring throughout this series. We need to remind ourselves of that, and that's not just reading his word. It's making sure that we're doers of his word and that God would encourage us down that path. So that's our big picture intro to the Bible. And I want you to come back next week as we're going to continue down that path, and we're going to look at some questions about the Bible. And I hope you bring those questions. As a matter of fact, I think next week would be a good week where you need to text some questions along the way. So during the message, I'll have you get your phones out and text some questions, and we'll put those up along the way. We'll have kind of a little interactive kind of moment there, and you can put me on the spot, and if I don't know, I don't know. But anyway, I'll probably just Google it, and we'll be good, okay? So all good. But next week, we'll do that and just study again God's Word and the value of God's Word. But here's why I want to pray for you. I want to pray that through this series, that God's Word wouldn't just be a book, but God's Word would be something of a revelation, a voice into your life, wisdom that would help you live life in a way where there's boundaries and there's a good life and it's a purposeful life and it's a joyful life, because that's what God the Father would want. For us to embrace His Word in that way, because that's why He wrote it. And there's so many people living outside of those boundaries that are miserable. Some of you might even give the testimony of how you chose life this way and then you came back to Him. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. When you live within the boundaries of God's Word, it frees us. And may we treasure His Word, but also may He free us. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for today and just a reminder of the importance of Your Word. I thank You, Lord, that You chose to reveal Yourself through Your Word and that You did it in a miraculous way, a supernatural way, to preserve through all those different writers, all the different manuscripts. You're the editor. You're the main one that got the message across that You wanted. I thank You that in creation we see revelation, because if you look at creation, then there has to be a God behind that creation. You're such an awesome God, and we see it in creation. But I thank You, Lord, that You just didn't leave us there with looking at creation and bowing our hearts in worship to You. I thank You, Lord, that You revealed Yourself through Your written Word, and You communicated to us so that we would know not only who You are and what Your heart is, but we would know the life of Jesus and how important it is to have that life in Christ and know that You make a difference in all of our lives. Thank You, Lord, for showing us that kind of revelation through Your Word. May You help us to grow in it. May You help us to understand it. But may we also apply it to our lives and live differently because of Your Word is treasured in our heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.